Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please, please, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, I know you can. I have faith in you. Go ahead and subscribe today, right below Laker Tom. You can do it. I know you can. Go ahead and do so today. You know why? Not only does it help our subscriberships, not only does it help as far as you getting the latest notifications on when we go on air, but to be honest with you, after the Lakers lost by 43 the other night against the Kings, I lost 47. Excuse me, off the top of my head, I forgot how bad it was. Remember, I was at the bachelor party, but after they lost by 47, I lost 2 subscribers. So if you're going to go ahead and help make up for the fact that I lost 2 subscribers because the Lakers lost so bad, please go ahead and help us out by subscribing today on YouTube. Plus, also as well, go ahead and check out the awesome things around Lakerland, including, of course, Lakerholics.com. I've got the number one Lakers blogger right here in Laker Tom. Go ahead and check him out today with his latest articles at Lakerholics.com. Plus, Jamie Sweet, the awesome Jamie Sweet, with his 5 Things articles as well. Go ahead and be part of the conversation and check out what they're doing today at Lakerholics.com. And always, you can go ahead and check out Laker Tom on Twitter as well. Plus, also as well, Joe Soro, who's probably not the happiest camper right now after the Dodgers, unfortunately, and let's call it like it is, choked their way out of the playoffs. Exactly. Well, you know what? Your Yankees, after the rain delay, they might do the same thing.
We're still alive.
I'm not a Yankees fan, so I've got no fight in this. But, yeah. Anyways, go ahead and check out Joe Soro as a member of the crew at LakersBall.com. Go ahead and check him out as Mox1947, and be really appreciative if you did. Great conversations about the Lakers always go on at LakersBall.com. Our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network, who always give us a dropout as far as a name drop every now and then. Truly appreciate you doing so. So go ahead and check out what they're doing today at hoopheadspod.com. Plus, you can go ahead and support Joe as far as his business. You know, I know you need a lawn out there. If you're in Southern California, if you need a lawn reimagined in the way that only Joe Soro can do for you, please go ahead and check out sinblades.com with a Y. That's sinblades.com. Petting my cat said the Dodgers suck. And I want to actually, petting my cat, I'm so glad you're here. Wanted to go ahead and mention the fact that I want to thank everyone for the tremendous support of the Lakers Fast Break Fantasy Basketball League. We got a full house and the draft went off like clockwork. Truly appreciate it. Petting my cat. Tried to already go ahead, said he was inexperienced, but he's already sending me those slick trades. I see what you're doing, man. I see you. I see what you're doing. He tried to get Giannis Antetokounmpo away from me. So, yeah, you're sly, little devil, you. Yeah, I see you, petting my cat. You're awesome, man. But, by the way, are you from PV? I just wanted to make sure because I saw that on your team name. I actually am from near the PV area myself, and I went to school in the PV area, so just want a fair trade. Yeah. Oh, that was a good one. But very sly, petting my cat, my friend. Great to have you here. Great to have everyone here. But thank you so much for the support from the Lakers Fast Break community as far as the Lakers Fantasy Basketball League. But petting my cat, great having you here. Great having everyone here. The chat's already started. Petting my cat's here. He's ready. He's sitting down. He's getting ready for our season preview because this NBA season, the NBA season is here and it's upon us. It's this week. It's starting on Tuesday with the Lakers going ahead and trying to hopefully derail the Golden State Warriors ring night, hopefully with the victory tomorrow night. We'll talk about that coming up in a bit. But to, before we get into all, Richard said, hey guys, how are you? God, the Lakers are really bad, SMH. I told you, Richard, it's so bad after the Lakers loss against Sacramento. I lost subscribers. That's how bad it is. But I will say that we are excited for an NBA season preview. I do want to mention that the Lakers went ahead and Matt Ryan did make the Lakers roster. That's great for him. Congratulations. We'll see how long he stays on the roster because there's all these moving parts that are going around. A lot of people that got waived, some surprises that were in store that maybe the Lakers might be interested in as a better fit for their team. We'll see going forward. I do know on the injury front, we'll start off with Thomas Bryant, who has a thumb injury and he's day-to-day. We'll also list Russell Westbrook as a day-to-day with his hamstring injury, which I know is going to be a source of much conversation. I know that some of the star players out there, like Paul George, for an example, are trying to go ahead and give him support. I don't think they're actually really watching him these days, but okay. And I know Russell Westbrook has also been quoted recently as saying that he thinks he's a good shooter. And, you know, confidence is a key. That's great, but results also matter as well, so there you go. But he is day-to-day listed right now with a hamstring injury, so he's iffy for tomorrow night against Golden State, and so is Thomas Bryant. I will say the biggest injury news is Dennis Schroeder, who got all of, 6 to 9 minutes in his only action in the preseason before injuring his finger. He had surgery on it and will be out 3 to 4 weeks. Richard says, I'll never stop watching, but it's painful. Yes, it is. I'm getting worried if Russ gets a serious injury, we won't be able to trade him. Well, Richard, if the team...
No, that won't matter.
It won't matter if he's...
Nobody's trading for the player.
Yeah, if he blows out a knee, if he blows out an elbow, I don't think they're trading for the actual player part of it. They're actually trading for the fact that $47 million would come off the books. That's more attractive, unfortunately.
Well, we could get an injury exception. That might be very valuable.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
I don't want to wish for Russ to get hurt. But
no, we would not want that.
I'd rather wish for him not to play.
Yeah, that's probably the better of the two scenarios there. But yes, Richard, nobody's training for Russell Westbrook, the player. If that was the case and he's playing well enough, I think we'd probably want to keep him on the team and then just go ahead and just say, you know, we'll keep the $47 million off the books at the end of the year. But I don't expect him, as what we've seen already from the preseason and the fact that he was already demoted. You know, we don't know if the demotion's going to stick.
Realigned.
I'm going to call it demoted. I'm going to say demoted. You call it what you want. I call it what I want. He was demoted to bench duty in that only game and before he suffered the injury conveniently just a few minutes into his first shift coming off the bench. I will say with Russell Westbrook, we don't know if that's going to be a permanent thing going forward. We'll see what happens. I will say that I do appreciate everyone out there watching and listening. So we'll keep you up to date on what Russell Westbrook's status is. If he plays tomorrow night, again, it's kind of iffy. And if he's coming off the bench, no one seems to know 100% for sure. But of course, Darvin Ham and the limited number of minutes that he did play off the bench, Darvin Ham was very supportive and positive on that. So we'll see what happens there. But Laker Tom is here. First one up, first man here. Again, we're trying to see if we can get Joe Sorrell on, who may be very sad right now about what happened with the Dodgers. But Laker Tom in the middle of a rain delay right there with the Yankees. So he has graciously joined us for the NBA season preview. Before we get into the nitty gritty, and I'm still lining things up as far as what many of our crew went ahead and listed out as their choices for the Eastern Western Conference. Heading into this season, let's start off with the Lakers first. Not telling everybody where you picked them in line, just getting an overall feel coming out of preseason. We saw the fact that they lost to Sacramento by combined 77 points, I believe is the...
47 points.
Well, no, what was the first loss when they lost by 30?
Oh, yeah. I think that was 30, so it would be 77.
Yeah, they had 77 points. You know, obviously that's not too encouraging, but... Your overall thoughts about the team heading into this NBA season?
You know, the Lakers are an incredible chaotic mix of very positive things and very negative things. And the problem is that the front office we haven't seen anything to give us any confidence that the decision-making going forward is going to be any more inconsistent than it's been in the past. You know, some great decisions and some great moves. You know, you get LeBron James, you get Anthony Davis, you win a championship. But still, things just don't. It's as if the Lakers want to do things their way, regardless of the fact that the game has changed. The competition level has changed with teams like the Brooklyn Nets and the Golden State Warriors not caring at all about what the luxury tax bill is going to be. They're going to spend whatever they need to spend. And that's going to leave the Lakers, if they continue the same financial habits as they've done in the past, even including Dr. Buss, it's going to leak the Lakers at a huge disadvantage.
Yeah.
And more and more, as bigger money gets into the game and you get players like the Clippers, you know, all of a sudden they're going to do the same thing, you know. Right now there's only three or four teams that are all outbidding the Lakers as far as how much they'll spend in luxury taxes, but that number is going to get greater and greater. And then you look at what's going on with the Lakers. When you come down to making a critical decision, probably the biggest decision personnel-wise, what to do with Russell Westbrook that the franchise has faced, you know, in years, and a decision that not only affects the current year, but has great ramifications down the road into the post-LeBron era and so forth. And the Lakers, at that point in time, where most organizations and that have strong leadership and hopefully are led by somebody with some vision of where the business is going, most of those businesses will basically narrow down who's making the decisions and really focus on the fact that somebody's got to be decisive. Instead, the Lakers, Rob Pelinka throws his hands up and says, well, we're going to have to make sure that everybody agrees 100% on what we're doing, or we're not going to take a chance. It's just too big of a gamble for that. This is one of those gambles where everybody's got to chime in and say that's okay. And obviously some people didn't. Probably the two new people who were brought into the decision-making process, which were Joey and Jesse Buss, who basically value draft picks, I'm sure, more than anybody else in the franchise, since that's been their main source of impact. There's a lot of troubling situation with the Lakers and Darvin Ham even. It's disturbing that neither Thomas Bryant nor Damian Jones could win the starting center spot, even though they were almost handed the job. And we've had to go to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, who's talking in the third party, saying the coach knows AD doesn't want to play the five. He wants to play the four. I mean, but I'll play the five. Yeah, right. Okay, so now he's playing the five, simply because the guys that we've recruited and brought in for the four couldn't do the job, and we wouldn't make the trade for Miles Turner. So we're now in a situation where we're going to burn, what, at the minimum, 20 games,
yeah,
the fifth of the season, to find out where we are. We'll be 5-15 at the end of that period. It all comes down to LeBron and AD. I predicted the Lakers are going to win half their first 10 games, simply because I think LeBron and AD will be great. Not great enough for us to win 8-2 or 7-3, but enough to win 5-5. And that'll be a good start for the team. And again, I just worry about what's one game matter, what's two games matter, what does three games matter. But the Lakers seem to be able to have things influence them that shouldn't. Short-term things seem to be influencing what should be long-term, major, well-thought-out decisions that just sort of fit a mold that you've set for what kind of team you want to build, what kind of franchise you want to be, how important it is to win. And the Lakers don't have a lot of the answers to any of those questions right now, which makes it a very worrisome season to go into. So I have them as a play-in team, you know, at best. And at worst, they could even slide below the play-in team and not be be a lottery team. A lottery team for the New Orleans Pelicans, of course, since they have these swap rights for our draft pick this year.
Yep. So we can't even tank if we want to.
Yeah. Well, we could tank and hope for the number two pick, that because the Pelicans might have a bad year too, you know.
I don't know. They got a lot of talent on that team. So I think that's pushing our luck.
You know, Here's the irony of the whole thing. For one great trade from being able to solve the problem and having a team that has more than a puncher's chance, has a fair chance if LeBron and AD are healthy, to really go and do a lot of damage. And I'm hoping that that there's no doubt now that the Indiana Pacers are tanking. So the Lakers need to, the Lakers need to make a call to the Pacers and make that adjustments, because waiting for Draymond Green, waiting for Kyrie Irving, waiting for Zach LaVine, and all of these types of things just don't seem to me to be the smart way to build a team. I want players that complement LeBron and AD rather than take away minutes and touches.
I think that, again, seeing everybody's comments in as far as what we're seeing already, 2-8 is very realistic as far as from the chat room already, and that's not a good sign when most of the chat room is already just really disappointed.
The stat everybody should ask is, what is the over and under as far as when we're going to trade Russell Westbrook? Because it's fascinating, because each one of those numbers that you pick for that over and under, how many games left in the season, so forth, you can really get a pretty good idea what the record would be and how hard it would be for the team to come back. I mean, if you start off 5-15, or 7-20 for the first 27 games, which takes you to December 15th.
Yeah.
Man, that's going to be a hard road to get back into being even a play-in team at that point.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
If you have a better movie in the can, why is that not the movie that you released in the first place?
I would say it's more culturally relevant than The Simpsons and Rick and Morty. Like, it has become a staple of American entertainment.
I think Dragon Age 4 is carrying the future of Bioware on its shoulders.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate everyone out there in the chat, everyone there listening out there, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, everybody watching on YouTube for being part of our NBA season preview. But I have something special for you guys. For the first time in weeks, I have both Laker Tom and Joe Soro here by viewers' request. We've seen it on Twitter. We've seen it out on YouTube. I wish Laker Tom and Joe Soro could get back on the air together. You know what? I got him back on the air together indeed. But he is back. Go ahead and make sure you go ahead and get your lawn reimagined today by SinBlades.com. That's SinBlades with the Y.com. It is my good friend, the man, one of the guys behind LakersBall.com. It's Ox1947, a guy who's not too thrilled about what went on in the weekend. Can't say I had as bad a weekend as you, because, you know, I had a bachelor party, as everybody saw, on Friday night, which, of course, I won all three races. I will say that. Go-kart. Yeah. I will say that it was a very fun wedding, and I destroyed my legs and body on the dance floor after that, because I'm really feeling my age as of today. But here today to talk about what's going on today, good man indeed, it is Joe Soro. Joe, first of all, thank you, as always, for coming back to us. I know, again, this weekend was a hard one for you with regards to the LA Dodgers, but great to have you here, my friend. Getting into it, before we get into everybody's picks and go into the Western and Eastern Conference, your thoughts on the Lakers as they're heading into another season?
Well, it's starting like it normally does. We have an injury to what would be a main character on the team for 3 to 4 weeks. So I'm not really looking forward to tomorrow. But there is a little hope in that for some weird reason, even in the 17, 19, 26, 27, when teams of the last decade, they seem to always play well against the Warriors. So I wouldn't be surprised if they snuck a win out just because of that. But
ring night, man, anything can happen. At ring
yeah.
Night.
And that's going to play a part too. But every time I say that, my team always loses anyways. I've had a couple of those instances in football when I would think
we lost on ring night.
Yeah. And yeah. And it's just, and I, the issue isn't one game. This is not the NFL. This is a, this is going to be a marathon that we're going to be trailing probably the whole year. Everything would have to be perfect. And even in currently, with its currently set up, with its current setup, as I should say, is it's not, it's just not a very, formidable team. I should say they're not very good. You still have two really good basketball players on there that can do some damage, but you know, it's just not, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And I'm trying to figure out a way to explain things for the 100th time without repeating myself.
Well, I mean, coming off that 47-point, a very embarrassing 47-point loss, I mean, I know that everybody in Lakers land was really depressed about that. And, it, I mean, you, there's no way you can say that, you know, maybe that's just exhibition. You just leave that all behind. Maybe the Lakers weren't just going through the motions. Maybe they can provide something better when they head into Golden State.
So we...
The last exhibition game. That's really all you can put for it.
Yeah.
This constant quitting by these guys, I mean, these guys are quitters. And I'm going to say LeBron is a big part of that. And AD is a big part of that because these guys are the leaders of this team. I remember Kobe not shooting in game seven of the 2006 first round against Phoenix. This is the game after Kwame Brown wasn't putting full effort in to get a rebound. Otherwise, we would have won that series, right? Yep. And Kobe got flack for that for a while, for quitting on his team. And that was one game that I can remember Kobe not playing up to his standards or whatever you want to call it. But this is a team that's quitting almost every other day, every other game. There is no pride. There is no wanting to get through the hard parts. And that's, and if that's the case, then I don't see any other reason than commenting on what they are. And we're going to be commenting on this if we're going to be honest with each other and honest to our viewers. We're going to be repeating the fact that they are quitters and they don't really care about winning.
I don't think you can judge them that harshly, Joe. It's preseason, man, and it was the last preseason game. They knew that AD wasn't playing, so you just got LeBron playing there. You knew LeBron wasn't going to play a whole game. You know, it's not what you want to see, you know. But I don't necessarily think that you can draw too many conclusions from the.
I believe I can. And this is not exclusive to sports. There are things that I have come across in recent years, and it's a very good feeling to know that your observation skills become so keen on knowing what is about to happen that you get yourself out of trouble. You get yourself out of situations where you're not going to deal with the headache of things. I'm trying to keep it basic here. I'm not going to go into specifics because I don't want to veer off this thing. But this is a small portion of that. This is sports. This is entertainment. It's not changing our lives internally with our families and friends. But what I see in a small little piece here, and this is not just this year, Tom. This has been going on for a while. This team does not see the obstacle as something they can get over. The second they get a little bit of a feeling, okay, let's give it a shot. And then as soon as a little adversity hits, boom, they just release the water and give up. Just flush the whole thing. That's why you're seeing these little spurts at the beginning of the game where they're playing well and they're leading. And then as soon as the other team adjusts, and all of a sudden, they start making shots. They start closing down lanes. They start blocking some shots, whatever, and start giving you a little bit of a challenge. They quit. It's like punching a bully.
Well, I think that that's an excellent description of what happened to last year's team, because I think that they got to a point where they no longer knew how to win a game. And every game they played there, it was like they expected that at some key point in the game, things were going to go awry. Shots would not fall or the other team would get hot and so forth. But, you know, I saw more promising things from this team in preseason, in the young players. I thought Nunn played very well. I thought LeBron and AD at moments looked like top five players, which is what we want out of them. We had that excellent game, you know, by the new signee, our 15th player,
Matt Ryan.
And so that was good to see. There have been some disappointments for sure. The starting centers that were going to allow us to play two bigs like the Bucks, that didn't happen. But I've been fairly positively impressed with the spacing that I've seen. Even though we didn't shoot, the spacing is better with Ham's offense. Defensively, we'll have to see how we do. You know, I mean, I still haven't seen anything to give me a feeling that they can play great defense. And a lot of it I put to the simple fact that we lack size in the forward positions. You know, we don't have any wings to back up LeBron and AD. And our starting center is a problem because we lose positional size by moving AD to the five and LeBron to the four. We really need to trade for Turner and Yield, and that solves all of those problems and gives us a much better team. And eventually we will. The only question is how many games will be left in a season by the time we finally end up doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And will there be enough to recover? You know, I mean, LeBron is being incredibly patient and totally believes that if he can get into the playoffs with a healthy AD next to him and a pretty good roster behind him, you know, it doesn't matter where they land. They have a chance. They're going to be the team that nobody wants to play in a 7-game series. Now, man, that's a long, hard, arduous way to get there. As far as I'm concerned, I'd call up the Pacers right now and give them the damn two picks. But, you know, they're going to play it out. They're going to see if, you know, can we all of a sudden maybe steal a Draymond Green in a trade with, you know, a trade for Beverly and Walker the fourth and Jones, for example, works in a trade machine. You got Kyrie, if something just goes crazy with Kyrie in Brooklyn, and you got a situation there that you can happen. Zach LaVine supposedly last summer was thinking about trying to force a trade to the Lakers. So it's like what we've done is put the Pacers on hold and said, yeah, we'll come back to you, but maybe we won't. We're just going to wait and see what happens and hope something big and surprising pops up, because it generally has in the past in the NBA. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, if the only one I think does have the possibility is, I think there is a chance that the Lakers might decide that to let Russ's contract expire, save the two picks, and spend the money on Draymond Green next summer. Let me ask you this, though.
Is that a good move? Because, you know, he's starting to show some signs of age. You know, remember he was sat down during the NBA Finals. I know people say he could still be one of the top 10 defensive players in the league, but he is getting up there for a guy who can't shoot and help you in certain ways offensively. He does so many other things. Plus, he may not be the exact right fit for your basketball team.
Yeah, but you could put him at center and you would have the most elite front court defense in the entire league. And even as a point forward, he is just superb. You know, you have two passers like him and LeBron in the game. I happen to believe very strongly that the Warriors, basically, they've given out contracts that are going to raise their payroll and luxury tax bill to over $500 million. I mean, the Lakers are going to be left so far behind salary talent wise. It's just impossible, you know. I like the idea of Draymond on the Lakers. I think that's really, you know, I mean, that's something that could definitely happen. I personally probably would prefer Turner and Heel, because I think that solves two problems, and you're not going to get, I don't know how you deal, you know, what the situation of trying to trade for, the Warriors can't take Westbrook, because even in a short term, that would cost them, you know, $100 million in luxury taxes just for Russ's contract, just to let it expire. So you'd have to have a third team involved, and it starts to get crazy then. So, I mean, it makes sense that the, you know, he's a guy, for example, if the Lakers can get 30 to 35 million in cap space, then he's a $30 million guy. He's making 27 now, 24 now, or 27, I guess, is his option next year. So you give him a 3-year, $30 million contract, then it's probably a winning combination. You know, you add him to AD and LeBron and just the players we have, since you're not trading and giving up anything. He's a quality addition, man. I mean, he's a big that can do everything that you want to do, and he can guard five positions. You theoretically have three players, bigs, who can guard five positions.
Yeah. Well, again, it all depends on what type of Draymond Green. He is going to play for contract, so he's obviously at the stage of your.
We're rooting for Dennis Schroeder. We're rooting for Patrick Beverley. Come on, tell me you can't root for Draymond Green, winner of five NBA championships.
I'm not saying in regards to the individual, Tom. I'm just saying at this stage of his career, plus, remember, you know, the old adage in regards to Draymond Green.
He wouldn't have won this year without Draymond.
And I understand that. But there was the finals game where he was ineffective and he was benched for a period of time. Plus, also as well, there's the old adage, as many NBA analysts have speculated, is he going to be that same kind of player on any of the other 29 teams?
I think that's a valid concern, except that I think that it's, you know, it's LeBron and Dre on the same team will figure it out, man. If anybody in the league can figure out how to make something work, the two of them together is unstoppable.
I'm hopeful. Again, you know, you're talking about another player in his mid-30s, though.
For the Lakers to get a star, it's probably going to be one of these quirky ones.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Zach LaVine or Damian Lillard, man. No, it's going to be Ben Simmons or Draymond Green or, you know, it's going to be somebody where there's controversy around them.
And he does have a great relationship with LeBron.
And he's a clutch client.
And he's also in his mid-30s, which seems to be the, right in that box where we check off, oh, mid-30s, yes. Formerly a great player, check. Yes, formerly this.
Yeah, you
yes.
know, but we've chosen the route that we chose, you know. Yeah,
this is true. This is all too true.
And we went with the LeBron and AD, and we blew it last year, and I swear we may have blown it this year if we don't get Heald and Turner. If we lose Heald and Turner because of the hesitation by the Bus Brothers, it's really going to be disappointing for the franchise. Because this franchise, this entire roster was built with the understanding that the only place where they were going to get shooting was by trading Westbrook. They knew they couldn't get shooters for minimum salaries. So they knew it had to come. It wasn't going to come from free agent. It was going to come from the trade. And by not making that trade, they're talking about that trade could bring for sure the third and fourth best players on this team. Immediately takes whoever was third and fourth now and shoves them down to fifth and sixth. Yeah. Takes two guys out of the starting lineup and shoves them into the reserves, which makes the reserves three times better than they were before. You just can't build a roster with two superstars making max money and 13 guys that are making the minimum.
Well, I will say again that I'm looking forward to seeing what the season plays out when it comes to Draymond Green, again, because Andrew Wiggins and also Jordan Poole were signed to multi-year deals, and he wasn't, or hasn't as of this recording. Obviously, some very concerning signs for him staying as a Warrior. Does that mean, again, he'll jump to the Lakers or another team? We'll wait and see. Jim's wording thing. Is that more in line with what you're thinking, Joe, is what Jim was putting out there in the chat? And thank you so much for everybody for being part of the chat. Is that Tom Great way to say it, Jim. That's great. He's a petulant, whiny man-child who's overrated and overpaid. No Pat Bev 2.0.
Well, it's
I can't say it as well as I would have liked to on the expression with Jim, so I apologize for that. But yeah, definitely is some great thoughts right there for you.
Yeah, I was going to give Jim some credit here. Draymond at $15 million a year for 3 years might be something I could accept. But
five rings.
He's got four.
But they were in the past. We're talking.
But this team needs to make a decision. Now, the one positive that he would probably bring is he would be up in your grill.
Yes.
So that would be good. The issue is you can't give him a max deal because there's no depth on this team.
He wouldn't need a max deal. You'd probably give him a deal that's like 30 million a year.
Yeah, he can't do that. You're essentially killing your team with.
But isn't your shooting issue still apparent there?
Yes, it is. He was abhorrent in the finals up until the last game.
He makes that up for it. You know, I think that the only valid argument that really makes any sense is the one that Joe brought up, that there are certain teams where he's got to be on a team that number one wants to share the ball on offense and wants to play aggressive, coordinated, heavy switching defense, where you're doing double switches and rotations and so forth, because that's what he does best, which is certainly what LeBron does when he's playing center field, you know? So it's again, just a valuation of, see, the key to me with LeBron James and Anthony Davis is not to put a third star or fourth star in there who are going to take away touches and points. And instead to focus on getting players who are stars in their particular roles and surrounding them with guys that can do that. A great shot blocker who can shoot from outside as a center in Miles Turner, you know, or a high percentage, high volume 3-point shooter like Buddy Hield, who's going to make you four threes every single game. I mean, the Lakers went through the season and there were over 20 games out of the 82 where they did not even hit 4 3-pointers in the game. Mm-hmm. These are games where they would be dramatically changed when you have some, nobody leaves Buddy Hield open, you know, like they do all of the guys on the Lakers. So we just need to make some moves because the current team, everybody knows the current team is not the team that will be here by February 9th. The question is just, how long do we wait before we actually make the trade? And who do we trade him for? Do we sacrifice and give up the two picks and bring back Turner and Hield, which is going to be the best we can get? Or do we take a lesser package just because we can have to only pay one pick?
Blue Magic said, because Troy Brown Jr. is still out with a back injury, and I neglected to go ahead and mention him because he's been out since training camp pretty much started. Thomas Bryant with a thumb injury and Dennis Schroeder all ruled out for tomorrow's game. Westbrook's status is still iffy with the hamstring. He anticipates Wenyen Gabriel, JDA, and Damian Jones to get plenty of run. I don't know what that says. It doesn't say very much good, but yeah, I know that that's not
garbage time because we're ahead or we're behind.
Yeah, I know. And again, everybody's venting on the chat room. I will say you guys are tremendous in the chat room. Keep it going. I think we have the best chat room, I think, of any Lakers-related fan board or YouTube or anywhere else. I think there's no better place to go than Lakers Fast Break. Once again, it's Gerald Glassford along with Joe Soro and Laker Tom. We're here for our NBA season preview. We first wanted to go ahead and touch on the Lakers first and foremost and what we're looking forward to and maybe not so looking forward to coming this season. I know everybody's just right now, you know, just sharing your thoughts. They're venting out, but you guys have been tremendous again in the chat room. When you see the support that we have is so tremendous, even in times like these, when we know that the Lakers do not look like, at least on the surface, to have this kind of positive spin as far as the season is concerned. Joe, what are the things that you take from as far as a Lakers fan when you see this kind of support that you're getting right now on the chat room?
The Lakers are a global brand. There are fans in every state, every country. So the pressure of being a a Laker is, it comes from that. We care. We're used to winning. We're used to having a well-oiled machine for an organization. And we haven't had that. We don't have a smart, I should say smart. We don't have a group of capable people running the business, right? Yeah. And then on top of that, you have players that aren't able to grab that little whatever you got to kind of push over to the next spot. I just don't have any confidence in LeBron and AD to be great leaders, to inspire what they have to win. They're not going to do what Michael Jordan did to Bill Wennington and I wouldn't say Joe Klein, but definitely, you know, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, that type of thing. Secondary type players, marginal players that looked much better when a leader is guiding you versus not, right? And the Lakers are just, I'm trying to find the words so I can keep it kind of gentle.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I'm fumbling my talk right now and try not to be insulting too, because what I really want to say is this team sucks and it will continue to suck all year. And you
no more dancing around the tulips, my friend.
You will see much worse as the year goes on, because you have players that don't really care. LeBron is going to break Kareem's record. AD's won in every level he's been at. He could go into the Hall of Fame and be fine. There is some content there. You can see it. You can see that AD's content with who he is. He is not going to push any further to try to be great. And right now, the evidence is there. I can prove it. You can sit there and say it's a preseason game, but I heard that way too many times in my life, and we all saw what happened there on all those examples. If you don't care about practice, if you don't care about the preparation part of this, guys, again, this is coming from what I've heard from the greats. Guys that practice hard, in some of the games in practice, from what I heard, were more competitive than the games. That's where the hard work starts. That's where the preparation starts. And then you talk about the preseason. Well, preseason should be even more, because you're starting to play opponents and you're starting to get scaled up to the season, right? So I'm not going to buy the fact that this is something that's meaningless. It is meaningful. It's preparation. It's getting your mindset for a long marathon of 82 games. Now, most of these guys are pansies. They're going to play only about 55. But nonetheless, this is an important part of the prep process. And right now, they have shown diddly squat. They have shown that they are in no way going to put the extra effort in to try to play well. They're going to probably start making excuses, and they're going to start getting injured here. They already have. And they're going to be the malcontents that they've been. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that I'm pointing that out. And for those who take this negatively, you can sit and spin. And if you don't like it, then go watch Happy Teddy Bears on YouTube, whatever it is that you want. Yes, we won in 2020, but that was 2 years ago, and I don't give a flying rat's ass about 2020 anymore. I'm already pretty irritable already from this weekend. Yes, it's starting to come back. It really settled in yesterday morning, and I thought watching the Steelers beat Brady, which wasn't, you know, the norm for years, would kind of calm me down, but it didn't. It actually made it worse. So we are going to prepare, or I'm going to prepare, to be spitting venom for the next 6 months. And I want everyone to know that I'm going to probably be spitting that venom on the guys that are making the big money, because that's their job. Their job is to motivate and get your team right. Now, if you're competitive and you try your hardest and you lose, that's one thing. But when you quit, like the quitters that they've shown, I have no respect for you.
And I can't say I blame you. I mean, it's just, you know, it's right now is a very tough time. We're going to have to go through a very tough season. It does not look like it's going to project any other way, especially if the Lakers are holding on, waiting for a magical trade to happen. I think the deals maybe as it goes along because of the tanking that which might we might we'll probably will see from maybe even more than expected teams right now. I think that could mean if the Lakers do, I don't know, I guess that if they just play at a 500 level, they can go ahead and maybe office, maybe even get a better deal thrown their way than what we've seen so far. That's a possibility because, again, I think we're going to see several teams tanking, even some that we didn't expect at first. Laker Tom, I know you are infatuated with getting that Indiana deal. And again, they're good players. Hield has issues on defense. He can shoot well, but shoots 40% from three. But again, there's defensive issues with Miles Turner. Again, defensive, he's obviously, you know, led the league in block shots right there for you, but he's never really expanded his game enough to where he's become someone reliable on the offensive end. So they each come with little things right there, but together they could still make an imprint on the Lakers that could move them up, but not clearly up to that next level. I mean, am I right on that? Or you think that they getting them, I know we've discussed this back and forth, but at this point,
no, I
just
need
on the team now. Do you think that they would actually?
I actually think that they would be the perfect fit for what the Lakers need. And in that neither one of them is going to do anything to detract from LeBron James or Anthony Davis performing like superstars. In fact, what they're going to do is make it easier for them to do that. By allowing them to play in a position where they have positional size advantage by playing the four and three instead of the five and the four, and by giving them spacing, which comes from the shooting, as well as no matter how you say it, Anthony Davis does not want to play center. He wants to play four. He wants to be on the perimeter where he can attack and play like a guard. And he really should. That's if you want to build your offense around him, then you want him to be able to do that. And the way to do that is to have Miles Turner playing center so he can play the four and LeBron, or he can play the three and LeBron can play the four. It's the trade that is, at this point in time, the least that the Lakers can come away with and have a successful season. Now, if they can manage to somehow trade for a disgruntled Draymond Green or Kyrie Irving or whatever other combination you look out there. If something like that falls in place where Zach LaVine all of a sudden says he's going to demand a trade or, you know, Damian Lillard, whoever. I mean, you're hoping for something like that to happen, but we should find out probably in the first 10 games how long the patience of the Lakers is going to be and how many losses you're going to do. Because if they start, if they go 3-7 in the first 10 games or 2-8 in the first 10 games, all of a sudden that changes the whole story because you have to start now looking to make a trade right away. You can't sit around and wait till December 15th. One third of the season is gone then, or February 9th at the trade deadline, two thirds of the season is over. Sure, there'll be guys willing to pick up Russ's contract at that point in time, maybe not even for a draft pick. But you're already going to be two-thirds of the way through the season. 60 games, you're going to be, 15-35 or something like that? You're going to have a horrible record at that point in time. There's going to be no way you can recover and make the playoffs or make even the play-in tournament if you start off with that. So the Lakers are going to reach a point really quickly in these first few games. If they don't come out and play well, and if they come out and play small, which is what they're going to do, and they get killed on the boards and killed in points in the paint, then that's going to ring alarm bells real fast. And they're going to have to make a move, or else they're going to be so deep in the hole by the time they trade Russell Westbrook that they will have no chance of making the play-in tournament. They should have made that trade before the season and before the start of camp. And they should make that trade as soon as possible. You say if they're looking for a better trade. You know what they're really looking for? They're looking for a trade that doesn't cost as much. They're not looking for a better trade. And that's the problem with this team and spending money and investing in it, is that they aren't willing to do what other teams they're competing with are willing to do. And from that standpoint, I'll join Joe viciously on every move that's made that turns out that shows that the Lakers don't have the same value of winning as they have claimed they have had in the past. I don't care whether Dr. Buss paid luxury taxes or not. The simple truth is, if you want to stay, if you want to keep up with Brooklyn and Golden State and the Clippers right now, you better be able to spend money the way that they do, or you aren't going to have as good a team.
I've waited 3 years, three long years for Laker Tom to turn to the dark side, and it's finally happened. If this is a glass, it's turning.
Let the hate flow through you.
The glass is actually now almost getting empty with Laker Tom. And you know what's bad when Laker Tom is actually starting to get a little pessimistic.
One of my favorite lines in Rocky V. One of the best lines in Rocky V is George Washington Duke was a playoff of Don King. At the time, I know a lot of you youngsters don't really remember Don King. Don King was arguably the greatest promoter in boxing ever and was a showman. And the character in Rocky V was a kind of like a spoof of him trying to get Rocky to fight Tommy Morrison or Tommy Gunn in the movie. So he says this line where everybody's saying this and everybody's saying that. He's like, let's stop talking fantasy. Let's talk reality. And this goes into his speech. And I just, as a kid, imagine that as a kid. I'm 12 years old, and that made an impact on me at 12. And it followed me throughout my adolescence and my adulthood. And it's never been more true than a fake world that we live in, where we have a bunch of Instagram, I was almost going to spill a word out there, fakers who are giving us this glamour life that they have that's amazing. And they're got the nice lighting and all the nice stuff going on and this and, you know, doing this and, you know, oh, yeah, this is where I am on the boat and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then that kind of starts to permeate into the other people, you know, basketball, football, actors, all that stuff. Because, you know, they want to get clicks and they want to make money from all the, you know, followers and all that. Well, in the end, if you're a fake, what difference does it make? You know, isn't that why they're all doing dope and offing themselves, right? So let's be that show that really, really tells the audience and tells people what is happening. Let's tell the truth. You know, we're not being held by some producer telling us, well, guys, we're losing in the ratings against Laker Nation. We need to do something and get more eyes and ears on this. I think authenticity is the greatest talent that you can have if you can either have it already or develop it. And I believe that if we continue to be authentic, we are not only going to bring an audience that's going to like it, we are going to, again, bring back some credibility in what we are saying. Why are we here? You know, we weren't hired by anyone. We weren't hired by CBS, NBC, or any of these big companies. We're just a bunch of people that got on a podcast and start talking basketball. But if we want to have some substance here and actually have, you know, a following that respects us, even the ones that don't like us, then you might as well start showing that you do have the talent to deliver a message. If the Lakers are winning, we will be optimistic. And not only if they're not winning, I'm also going to pay attention to how they're losing. If you're losing like a coward, like they are now, you're going to hear me say it. If you're busting your rear end and you're losing, that is okay, guys. But there's a difference. I've seen it. You've seen teams play their hearts out and lose. You commend them. They tried. It just didn't go your way. But this is different. This is spineless stuff. And I want to just stick that screwdriver in until something pops. Either
you just got to make sure to get the right target, though, because sometimes it's not the players. Sometimes it's the guys who chose the players.
It can be both. And again, when you talk about, like, right now, there's an issue going on in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, right? And I know football is different than basketball because football has a hard cap league. So if a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers is going to, and he didn't complain about this, I'm just saying if he did, I'm using it as an example. If he's upset that he doesn't have talent on the team, well, unfortunately, Aaron, when you make $50 million, it's not going to leave you a lot of room to go get talent. So that's kind of how that goes. In this situation, you know, guys like LeBron, guys like AD, I'm not saying take a pay cut, but if you're going to be the greatest of all time, you know, you're going to have to do some things like motivate your team to win. Otherwise.
But you mentioned it, you know, the NFL is a hard cap, but with the NBA, you see teams like what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. And this is what frustrates. And this is the only one of the rare times I will try to speak for Laker Tom, is that it's frustrating when you see Golden State writing these checks that, yes, I understand a new deal, TV deal is on the way, and I understand that the salary cap is going to be structured differently, and I understand that there might actually be rules in place that might benefit Golden State down the road, but they're still writing out checks for quite a bit and saying, you know what, we're going to reevaluate later whether or not we're going to be still a competitive team and we should still keep these guys on the roster. Whereas you see on the Lakers, Laker Tom is frustrated when we see a good player that brings so many intangibles such as Alex Caruso literally ask you and tell you that he's going to take a hometown discount and still he walks away. And that's what's frustrating to us as Laker fans, is we see that the Lakers want to spend the money on LeBron, want to spend the money on AD. They'll only go so far. Jeannie Buss and the rest of the Lakers front office, they'll only go so far in what they want to spend. And that's to me, and that to him, and that to you, it seems very frustrating. Am I correct, Laker Tom?
There's this thing where you don't want to sign someone. How about show them some respect, especially someone like Caruso, who busted his rear end for you, who's back and forth in the G League and the regular team and going and trying to really make his worth something for you to enhance, something for you to use in a championship run, which he did.
We don't value continuity at all is the problem.
We don't value people. You know, we don't value respect.
You can't build chemistry and continuity with a brand new roster.
How about have some respect? Respect. How about Jeannie or Rob call Caruso and say, look, Alex, we're going to go with Talen Horton Tucker. He's 6 years younger than you. We think he's got a lot of potential. We absolutely appreciate everything you've done, and we wish you well, but we're going to go a different route. Now, I can also say that maybe that did happen and we didn't hear about it, but it didn't sound like it when they talked to Alex. What does that tell you, guys? What does that tell you? That little thing of respect.
It's communication. $30 million in luxury tax that he would cost.
That's fine. That's what you can tell him. Respect the man. Respect him. Be a professional.
I think he understood that too, you know.
But, you know, be a professional. I know it's about money, but how about doing the right thing, like communicating and saying, Alex, we can't keep you both because it's $30 million. And I'm not upset. I am not upset that the Lakers don't want a luxury tax of $30 million. That doesn't upset me, okay? It doesn't.
That upsets me.
Well, if it's for a Damian Lillard in his prime, yes. Not for an Alex Caruso.
You can't attribute it to one player. You basically have to understand what the rules are now today to compete for a championship. And the rules are you're going to pay a lot of luxury taxes, man. It's that simple. You want to compete with the Clippers? You want to compete with the Warriors? You want to compete with the Nets? Then you better be willing to pay 50 to 100 to 200,000, 200 million in luxury taxes. They're already going to be over $200 million in luxury taxes for the Golden State Warriors right now.
And that's because they're on the repeater tax as well.
Dr. Buss had said plenty of times in the past, if we win, it's all pay. But the problem is you can't guarantee that this team is going to win. Now, you can't guarantee any team will win, but you're not in any way going to – they're not going to spend that kind of money on a team that might win.
You have to build a machine that wins, because that's the only way you win. In other words, you can't worry about your 2027 and 29 draft picks being top five picks, because that will only happen if you don't do your job and you don't build a roster that can compete and continue to win.
Maybe they know they're
in the same thing. You have to invest money. The Warriors are doing everything because they know that what really brings money in are the local TV deals and their local stadium deal, and the fact that they win championships. They will continue to pack that arena, and they will continue to rack profits in the TV contracts. And that will allow them to pay as many luxury taxes as they want to pay. It's going to change the whole rules. And there may be something in the new CBA from the small market teams that is going to really put a hard cap at some point in time on what teams can do to build, because the Warriors have basically said, it doesn't matter to us. We're going to build the best team we can. If we have 10 superstars on the team, we'll have 10 superstars on the team. But you're not going to stop us from spending money to make the team better every opportunity we can, no matter how much luxury taxes are. Everybody thought they would quit this year, and then those two contracts came out.
So before we get into our picks as far as for the Eastern and Western Conference, I want to go ahead one more thing as far as Russell Westbrook is concerned. I know this has been a sore spot for Laker Tom because he keeps on having timelines of when he is going to be dealt. But I'll start with you, Joe. When it comes to Russell Westbrook, do you think he'll be traded, and by when, as far as maybe a guess on that? Because for me, I think he's probably going to wait until February. I'm hoping I'm wrong, Tom, just to let you know, just off the record. I'm just saying on the record, I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that maybe if he does get traded, it won't be until February. I'm now firmly in the camp of what Jamie Sweet has said time and time again. Your thoughts, Joe? Do you see Westbrook getting traded sooner or later?
No. Westbrook will not be traded this year.
So they're just going to choke on the 47.
You do realize that we're going to end the year then with nobody that we can trade, because LeBron and AD will be the only two contracts of consequence that we have.
The only way somebody trades for
We'll have three draft picks, and we won't have any salary matching ability to trade for anybody making more than $5 million a year.
What about Patrick Beverley? Because he's at 13 or 12? 13.
1 year left.
13. But this,
contract.
Yeah, but if 13. but he could be traded.
He could be traded.
He could be signed and traded.
In a filler.
But he could be signed and traded. He can't be traded.
Right. So there's.
During the year, you can trade.
During the year, he could be traded. Yeah.
Right. What I'm saying is if you let everybody expire who's going to be expired, the Lakers are going to have, I think Christie is the only other guy that's going to be on the roster that has a contract. Everybody else is going to be a free agent, which means they could be signed and traded, but you won't have anybody to match salaries. So you won't be able to trade for draft picks. Let's say somebody's wanted to trade for Kyrie Irving. You don't have anybody in house that you can trade. They would have to sign and trade for people. So that is a big problem. And here's the problem. The Lakers have had this problem every single year because they always want this cap space rather than tradable contracts. So the cap space is great when it comes to free agency. If you sign them,
they tried with Schroeder. He turned down the contract.
Right.
A lot of the reasons why they were.
Well, he says it wasn't a contract. Now
he's full of.
Well,
that guy's so full of it.
It was really not a contract.
Why would that be a lie? Why would they lie?
Well, those kind of reports were too
specific. They could have discussed it and narrowed it down to a couple of points, you know.
That guy's a chump.
Well, he's a chump on it with a 3 or 4 week injury, so he's not even going to help us for another month.
Yeah, and again, he was a short-term response because they thought they were going to trade Russ, you know. So they thought, well, we're going to trade Russ, let's do that. But then at the last minute, they lost their nerve to trading Russ. And now they're like, you know, well, where do we go? So my answer to your question, Gerald, is yes, they're going to trade Russ, and they're going to trade him before 20 games.
Okay, fair enough. That's definitely some good thoughts right there. Hoping it would be sooner than later. Again, you know, at this point, Russell Westbrook, you're getting diminishing returns. I know that we're often cited by certain individuals that frequent the show, and thank you for frequenting this show, about our disdain for Russell Westbrook. It's not on the person, and it's not on the player he once was. It is the player he is now that we're focusing on, and what
and his can, fit on and his fit on the Lakers.
Yeah, and what he can and cannot do for the Los Angeles Lakers. And it's, you know, there's a reason why he was demoted to the bench last week. And I'm saying demoted. I'm sorry. Can't get me off that mountain. Demoted to the bench last week is because
he's been reassigned to the bench. It's demoted. A realignment.
It's demote. It's
don't
demotion.
Take it as a demotion. It's not a demotion. It's no, a realignment.
I would be like Westbrook.
Say that after me, Russ. Realignment.
Too much political correctness in this discussion.
Demotion. Demotion. But anyway,
you got benched,
Russ. Yeah, you got benched.
You got
man.
Chaired.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. You got chaired. Modern.
There you go. It feels good to say that.
Yeah, modern basketball. They sit in chairs. He got chaired onto the bench or chaired on the stuff. Yeah.
And the range, yes, the answer is the Clippers are in the luxury tax, just to let you know. So I think they're number three as far as overall, as far as salary cap, if I'm not mistaken.
That's three more of anything they've ever won, so good for them.
I understand, but we'll get to our picks here in a second, so we'll go ahead and hear in a bit. But once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. I truly appreciate everybody watching and listening. Truly thank you so much. If you have not yet subscribed to our channel, please, for this season, because we do all the post games, please go ahead and be part of the fun right here by subscribing today so you get the latest notifications, not only when we do the post games, but when we do sideshows like this, extra episodes, always coming at you all the time. So go ahead and be part of the fun by subscribing today to us on YouTube. Plus, again, we lost subscribers after the Lakers lost by 47. So we need all the help we can get right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out and to cover another great period of time here, and thanks so much again for everybody in the chat room. You guys, I truly appreciate the Lakers Fast Break community being the best Lakers community out there in the Lakers sphere. So props to you guys out there. It is truly appreciated. But, you know, see, I'm being nice, Joe. I'm being kind. I know you're making that face and all that, but you know, I know you're a little bit on edge after what happened this weekend. I'll just, you know, leave it at that. So. Better relief pitching, more timely offense.
Blame and burn those Dodgers, man.
Yeah. Goes to show you, spending the money don't matter, guys.
Hey, yeah. Baseball is so unfair, man. 162 games.
Right here.
162 this. Games, and you go out in a five-game series.
Jesus.
Yeah. My gosh. This. Again, so I'm going to.
When this is not here, go cowards. Yeah. Makes cowards of you all. I never seen a sorry sack of freaking schleppers in my freaking all of my time. Just schleppers everywhere I look.
Well, here's the latest. Here's just to update everybody on the latest of the luxury tax payments. Right now, the estimate is for the Clippers, who happen to be my number two pick, $145 million penalty luxury tax. The Warriors, $170 million. Mm-hmm. The Nets, $108 million. The Bucks, $70 million. Celtics, $65 million. Lakers, sixth at $45 million. Suns, $35 million. Mavericks, $27 million. Even the Nuggets, $17 million. And the Philadelphia 76ers, $1 million. Wow. We're already $150 million behind.
I will say, though, that I am really happy to go ahead and have everyone here for the show. V. Garcia has returned to us after, I think, about a year? I think he left us right around the time Joe started with us. The man from San Antonio, V. Garcia, always great to have you back. Mac, you were one of our original Facebook viewers, so you miss me, Pootie. That's right, miss me, Pootie. The man who, you know, I just tell you what, he's been great as far as in the past, so we thank
What's
you so much
Pootie?
For bringing it's an old. You have to check out the old episodes. Check out the old episodes. The Lakers Fast Break. And you know,
no, just tell me what it is.
It's just, you know, stuff we said. Just
you can't do that on the air.
Yeah, I can't do that on the air. But that's okay. That's okay. We just again, great to have you here, B. Garcia.
He has an NDA. He has an NDA about it.
Yeah, indeed. But before we head on out, I know actually there've already been talk as far as what we're going to do for our picks. I do want to mention to Paul.
No, he did not take the fifth. He did not take the fifth.
Great to have you here, Paul. Again, as a Utah fan, truly appreciate you taking the time to check in out our show as well. thank you so much for doing so. And everybody else is being part of the chat. Jim, Young MB, Blue Magic, Richard, The Range, you guys have all been fantastic on the chat. Everyone, as far as petting my cat, just truly amazing as far as part of the chat is concerned. But I know as we've been asked to go ahead and make sure we're going to do our picks before we head on out. And yes, we will do our picks before we head on out. I'm hoping Joe has his picks ready because he did not send them in advance. But I will say, I'm going to start off with Tom's picks, okay? So everyone at home, get your pencils ready, your pencils in, your papers ready. So we're going to go ahead and talk some basketball. Tom's picks right now for the Eastern Conference. So here goes. Tom's picks for the Eastern Conference are the Celtics in first, 76ers second, Bucks third, Nets fourth, the Heat fifth, the Raptors sixth, the Hawks seventh, the Cavs eighth, the Bulls ninth, the Knicks are 10th, the Wizards are 11th, the Pacers 12th, the Hornets are 13th, the Detroit Pistons are 14th, and the Magic are 15th. The only question I would ask for you on the Eastern Conference, the Cavs, which got Mitchell, Spida Mitchell, as our good friend Mr. Jamie Sweet would say, they got Spida Mitchell, and with the prospective rise, hopefully, of Evan Mobley as a burgeoning player that could be on the verge of superstardom, you don't see the Cavs being any higher?
I think that the Hawks improved a lot. And the Cavs, I don't like small guards, even with their big front court. I don't think you build a great defense around small guards, not in this league anymore. There's too many guys now that will take you for 15-foot shooting 60% from little short mid-range jumpers.
Well, I agree with you on the short backcourt as far as on the defense.
You know, and then I don't know. I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready because the other thing is there's two things seem to be happening in the league right now, which is there's a bunch of teams that are going back to two bigs. Mm-hmm. You know, Cleveland's one of those teams. And then there's a lot of teams that are really moving away from that and going small. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see whether the same trend continues that, you know, that very few centers really get the respect that they demand simply because they can't stay on the court. This is one of the things that interesting you've mentioned about Miles Turner. Miles Turner actually is one of the top rated people as far as defending people after being switched. It's because teams obviously at the end of the game try to switch on him a lot because they figure he can't defend out to the perimeter. And yet his defense out at the perimeter and on three-point shots is among the best of all of the big men in the league. You can't play him off the court at the end of games by putting a three-point shooter out there because he can defend that. He's quick enough to do that and has been able to successfully do that and has one of the best defensive rates, least number of points per scored on guys after he's been switched off on him. And that generally includes wings and guards. So he's really the perfect candidate for the Lakers. And, you know, that trade will change the entire perspective of this team. It's that major a change.
V. Garcia saying the Lakers need Jared Dudley on the coaching staff. We need those great vibes. Hard to get him off of Dallas right now.
Probably have made that trade.
Yeah. Well, I will say, Tom, the only thing is when you talk about the backcourt, I agree with you on the defensive part as far as for the Cavs. The only thing is that they back it up with two very mobile big men in Allen and Mobley, which might make up for that. Might. I say might. I'm not 100% convinced, but I say might make
up
for that.
You know, again, you got two bigs that can't spread the floor.
Mobley can spread the floor.
What's his shooting improving on what did he shoot last year?
I'd have to look that up, but I know that back in college, extended his days. I can look that up as far as Evan Mobley. But your pick, as I look that up, as far as that the head of the East, you still have the Celtics, mm-hmm. even with all their issues, still.
Yeah, I do. Before all of that happened, them getting Brogdon, I think, was a big move. Obviously, they had some injury problems already. If their big guys can stay healthy, they're the best team in the East. In my opinion.
By the way, Mobley, yeah, he right now, he's still an ineffective shooter on the outside. You're right on that. But yes, Joe does smile, by the way, V. Garcia. Yes, Joe does smile. He his team lost, unfortunately, during the past weekend, so we'll go ahead and send there. But getting into your Western Conference, I want to go ahead and make sure that Tom's runs down. Before we get to his finals picks, we've got the Warriors in first, the Clippers in second, the Phoenix Suns in third, you've got the Nuggets in fourth, the Grizzlies in fifth, the Minnesota Timberwolves in sixth, the New Orleans Pelicans in seventh. You've got the Dallas Mavericks in eighth, the Lakers in ninth, the Kings in 10th, the Trailblazers.
It's going to be 11th. One hell of a play-in tournament, huh?
That it will, that it will. The Trailblazers in 11th, the Jazz in the 12th, the Rockets are in 13th, the Thunder, and then the Spurs. So let me hear your thoughts on why you think the Warriors are still going to be motivated enough to go ahead and be still number one as far as in the Western, move up to number one. Actually, they weren't number one last year. They actually moved from, I think, number three spot. Yeah. So yeah, number one.
Health, talent, depth. The young players, Kuminga and Wiseman, are going to help a lot. They just re-signed Poole, who's going to be fabulous. And Wiggins is great. The only hope that the rest of the league has is that they're going to trade some of these guys because of the luxury taxes are just killer. I mean, there's rumors that Dre or even Poole or even Wiggins could be on the trading block. And that makes sense because that's one of the things, for example, that there has not been any transactions involving the Golden State Warriors where they allowed players to walk away without getting something for them. Now, that's not the way the Lakers have handled things. They've had too many instances where they just let players walk without being able to trade them or get money for them. And the Warriors have been fabulous about that. They've really, even if they have to take back a D'Angelo Russell or whatever they had to take back, you know, to make the deal, or an Andrew Wiggins, they made those trades and then they make them work. So I definitely feel like they are by far the favorites to win everything this year. I don't know how teams stop them. And they're going to miss some defense because they lost some of their depth, but their top seven or eight guys are unmatched by anybody else in the league.
So let me ask you this.
The Clippers will be right behind them. That's going to be a great competition for the year. The Clippers could finally actually win the West.
So let me ask you this then, you know, since you see the Warriors, I'm going to say your Warriors are your pick to go all the way this year. Who do you see them facing off in the East? Is it another rematch of last year's finals?
I think it's going to be the same thing. Warriors versus the Celtics.
Okay. That's fair enough. Joe's already started on that. Joe, I'm getting coming to you next, my friend. I mean, it just at this
Celtics
point.
Celtics are toast.
They're toast. All right.
With all the drama.
Well, let's start off in the East then for you, my friend. I've got the list ready for some other people, and I'm going to end.
Tatum ain't going to play like that in the next playoffs.
We'll see. I will say that, you know, again, there are obviously some great suggestions, but with the new coach and, you know, obviously the Ime Udoka issues, obviously notwithstanding as well. Your thoughts on the Eastern Conference, Joe, before we get into the West?
I think Miami's going to be a force again because you have a real leader behind there and real leadership on the floor. And I think they're going to have a trade between now and the deadline that'll help even more. Mm-hmm. They need like one more guy. I don't know who yet. I don't know who would develop, but it's that one guy that's going to make that difference. And having those large contracts from Duncan and drawing a blank. What's his name? The one they just signed.
Hero.
So Hero and Duncan, if something develops to where they can use those contracts to get somebody like let's say if Lillard wants to get out for whatever reason, you know, they can make that trade, and that would be something kind of interesting. The Bucks are the Bucks. If they stay healthy, they're going to likely be in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Nets are a enigma at the moment. If by some miracle all three of them decide that they're grown men and not little, you know what's, they have enough talent to do what they need to do, but I'm not putting my money on that. I'm going to take a wild guess that they're going to implode like they normally do, because that's what they are. 76ers. I can say that I have noticed a little difference with James Harden. It's the first time I feel like he's humbled himself. And if he stays healthy and Embiid does what he does, that could be interesting there. Celtics are going to drop big time. I have them down to 5 in the conference by the end of the year. Raptors are going to pretty much be the same team they were before, slightly better than the Cavs. Cavs are still on the come up. And then the Hawks are going to sort of dip. I know they got the DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray, yes.
Yeah, but I don't really consider him any. He's a very good player, but he's not a star. So that's the East. It's going to come down to, I think in the end, it's going to come down to the Heat and the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Those are my
what about picks. A team like Brooklyn?
Those three would have to play like they would have to play. If they play, they could win it all. But I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all.
No, I don't blame you. I mean, anybody else that you could see as possibly.
And it's not just Kyrie. It's not just Kyrie and Durant.
Okay.
Ben Simmons needs to play a big part in this, and I just don't trust him probably more than even Kyrie. I think Ben Simmons is in my book, the softest player I've ever seen in my life, and that might even go into other sports. He's a mental weakling. He should go play Call of Duty more and keep those numbers up.
Fair enough.
He's got Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, on the Western side, my friend, who are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on
that? I think Phoenix is the Dodgers of the NBA. They play really well in the regular season, but they'll fold in the playoffs. Golden State's going to kind of settle back a little bit maybe. I think they'll probably be at the 2 seed. I think Denver's going to be on the up and up. I have them 3 in the conference. The Clippers are going to be 4. I know that's a surprise to some people, but you guys seem to keep forgetting about what we've seen. I'm a guy who analyzes what we've already seen. And we know that Kawhi Leonard doesn't like to play. He's not as bad as a Kyrie in terms of, you know, being a malcontent, but his body cannot play an 82-game season. So I'm expecting him to play 60 games and Paul George doing his thing to a degree. And then they're going to be like a 4th seed at best. I think Minnie's going to come up. I think Minnie is going to, you know, start climbing a little bit. I think the Mavs are going to be kind of where they were last year, I think, if not worse. The Pelicans will be a little bit better, especially with Zion playing. That I'm hoping, I'm cheering for him. I'm hoping he does well. And then because we have LeBron and AD, if AD is playing healthy throughout the year, I think they can be an 8 seed. 8 seed, first round bounce is my prediction for the Lakers. And that's actually being nice.
You're actually a lot nicer than what.
Well, who are you?
Including
Kings,
us, some of us. Are we,
the Kings, Portland, the Thunder. Like, you know, I don't know who else that would make me scared. I mean, guess
the Thunder, because of Holmgren's injury,
we can say the Kings can get the 8 because they've been using the Lakers as toilet paper this last 2 games. I wouldn't be surprised if they replaced the Lakers at 8, but. At the end of the day, they're still the Kings, and Mike Brown's their coach. So God bless you.
All right, fair enough. So with all that said, my friend, who do you have coming out of the East, and who do you have coming out of the West?
I'm picking the Heat, and I have a wild card coming out of the East, Denver.
I mean West. You mean I come out of West?
I'm sorry. The West, Denver. Mm-hmm. The East, the Heat.
I'm not saying you're wrong on Denver because I think Denver's going to have a very strong season. They have loaded up. They've a little bit.
I like what they did to fill in the gaps.
Exactly.
Getting somebody like a KCP who's got championship pedigree. Mm-hmm. Then you got Jamal who's going to come back, which usually a torn knee usually has to be kind of all weird, right?
He's that's how good in preseason.
Right, exactly. So Clay kind of made me feel like, wow, if Clay can come back and do what he did, and he had his whole leg shredded, right? I said, okay, Jamal might be able to come back and kind of come back to who he was, especially considering he used last year as more of a buffer to come back. So if Jamal is on point, you got the Joker, and then you got continuity, right, Tom? Continuity. How is Denver not going to be a threat at that point, especially considering they played the Lakers pretty – yeah.
None of the guys that you're talking about play defense.
In a soft ass league, that might not be as bad, especially if you're playing teams like Phoenix, you know, or I don't know, Minnesota. I don't know. I think they got a shot.
Yeah, Minnesota, I think, is going to be a good regular season team for now. I think they're still going to take some maturing, and they still got to figure out the Rudy Gobert thing in the playoffs.
Well, we said this before. If Anthony Edwards is going to continue to be what he is, that's where it was. And I don't blame them for doing what they did.
They're banking on Ant. You have to
because there's no choice. No one's going to Minnesota. No one wants to go to Minnesota. You had to do this so that you can basically tell Anthony, look, we're going to get you your anchor. You got KAT.
Cat.
And Cat, you go do your thing. Go be Michael Jordan. Cat will be Pippen. And then you got Dikembe Mutombo in his prime in Gobert.
By the way, I want to go ahead and pay our respects and thoughts, share our thoughts about Dikembe Mutombo. I don't know if anybody out there caught it, but over the weekend.
That's why I brought him up.
Yeah, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and I believe he had surgery on it, if I'm not mistaken. So our best wishes to him.
I heard it wasn't
great. Well, go ahead.
I don't know if I heard this right, but I heard it wasn't. I don't know if it was benign, but it was a tumor. But I didn't hear it was. I didn't hear any stages or any spreading. So that's if they got in there and got rid of that thing, that'd be nice because that's a. That man right there, man, that guy, you want to talk about a guy that takes care of things, that's the man that you got to look at. That guy.
One of the ambassadors of the
yes.
NBA.
Yes, I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah.
He's ambassador of the world. That guy took care of so many people and so many people back home and in Africa and stuff. The guy is a gem, and I wish all the best for him.
Absolutely. We all do from the Lakers Fast Break. Our continued thoughts and prayers are with his family and him as well. Hopefully everything will work out okay and he can go ahead and continue to represent the NBA and the basketball world as graciously as he has over the course of many years, even since his retirement. So wishing him all the best. But as that said and done, so who are your finals teams again and who are you going to have to pick to win the NBA finals?
Warriors over Celtics, excuse me.
Oh?
I'm picking Miami over Denver.
All right, there you go indeed. Those are the thoughts of Joe and Laker Tom. Before I share mine, I wanted to go ahead and run down a couple more lists and their thoughts as well. Nick Molina, just great to have him as part of what we're doing here at the Lakers Fast Break. He's great, an avid viewer of ours, great fan, appreciates when we go ahead and include him on this stuff. So I wanted to go ahead and mention his thoughts on his list. He has right now, as in the Eastern Conference, the Bucks, then you got the Celtics, the Heat, the 76ers, the Cavs, the Nets, the Hawks, the Raptors, the Knicks, the Hornets, the Bulls, the Magic, the Wizards, the Pistons, and the Pacers. The only thing that surprised me is the Nets. Maybe he's got them a little low because of what's going on with their situation. Doesn't think they could go ahead and be very conducive as a unit as of yet, so I think that there's that ongoing conversation a lot of people are having as far as whether the Nets can get their act together in time for the season. So obviously he's not on that side of it. And I can't say that he's wrong because, again, a lot of people are thinking the same thing. With the West, he's got the Warriors, shock upon all shockers there, just like Tom. The Clippers, shock upon all shockers right there, just like Tom. The Suns, shock upon all shock, just like Tom's. Then he's got the Grizzlies because I think he's going to go ahead and say, you know what, Ja is going to be having that MVP-like season, especially with Triple J that's going to be out for a little while with injury. Then he's got Luka and the Mavs, the Nuggets, the Pelicans, the Lakers right around the eighth spot like you do, Joe, Timberwolves, the Kings, the Trailblazers, the Rockets, the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Jazz. And with Nick, he has for the finals Golden State and Milwaukee with Golden State repeating. So he has the Golden State Warriors repeating. And I appreciate, again, Nick Molina just trying to go ahead and send us out and be part of the fun here at the Lakers Fast Break. So we truly appreciate it. For your man at Lakerholics.com, Laker Tom, Jamie Sweet, I got his picks right here for you. First off, in the East, he's got the Bucks, the Heat, the 76ers, the Celtics, the Nets, the Bulls, the Cavs, the Hawks, the Raptors, the Knicks, the Pistons, the Wizards, the Hornets, the Pacers, and the Magic. So he's got the Heat, like you, Joe, up at a higher realm than a lot of other individuals out there. So he sees, a good, strong season for the Heat. I think he's also a little bit down on the Celtics and the Nets. He's still not really sure about as well. He still thinks that, like a lot of other individuals, like we were talking about with Nick, that he's not really 100% set on the Nets right now. Now, his Western Conference, he's got the Nuggets on top, the Clippers, the Suns, the Mavericks. He's got the Warriors down to fifth, the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves, the Pelicans, the Lakers down in ninth, and Trailblazers, Kings, Thunder, Spurs, the Jazz, and the Rockets. And his team are the Bucks and Nuggets in the NBA Finals. And his NBA champion is the Denver Nuggets. So there's a little bit of a surprise there for you. Although, actually, I think they're gaining a lot of momentum, especially here in Vegas, because like you said, Joe, they're really starting to build a good roster out there. But you haven't heard mine. So I'm saving mine for last right here. So we'll go ahead and talk what Gerald is thinking right now as far as his list going into the season. And he was way wrong before last year when he was actually right 2 years ago, more right than he was last year, because he said the Lakers were going to do really well. And of course they didn't. He said they were going to do well. I said they were going to win the championship despite Russell Westbrook, because they were going to make a trade to offset what they were doing with Russell Westbrook. I think that's pretty much how I paraphrased it. So unfortunately that didn't come to fruition. So I apologize for that. But for this year, I have in the East, I've got the Philadelphia 76ers. I think they're going to be a strong regular season team. I've got the Bucks in second. I've got the Celtics in third. Not too much of a drop of what they were as far as favorite. I think the new coach thing and all the issues that they have, plus a couple injuries, especially Robert Williams, I think that's going to be an issue. The Nets in fourth. The Heat in fifth. Although I think it's going to be really close, and all those five teams are really competitive. I think that's going to be very close, and you could say any one of those teams are really going to be right there in the mix for a championship. The Cavs, the Raptors, the Hawks, and again, of that first eight teams are just very good teams, so all of them really have a chance to compete in the East. Then you got the Knicks. I think the Pistons have a bright future ahead of them, and I think that really starts now. So I think the Pistons are going to be somewhere in the mix, possibly even a tail end of the play-in at number 10. Then you got the Bulls with some injury concerns, obviously with Lonzo Ball, and you're banking on another season of DeMar DeRozan, and hopefully if he stays healthy, Zach LaVine. That team has not stayed very healthy over the past season after that first initial run that they had as far as at the top of the Eastern Conference. So I see them falling really pretty hard, pretty quickly. The Wizards just don't have enough talent outside of Bradley Beal and Kristaps, so I really think there's some issues there. The Hornets, I'm going to put right now in the 13th spot. The Hornets could fall faster than that. They could fall farther. Don't be surprised if they really do a tank job because of what's happened to their team. Plus, also, the other Ball is going to be injured to start the season.
And then they're going to trade Heald and Turner to the Lakers, so, you know.
No, that's not the Pacers. That was the Hornets.
Oh.
That's your other trade team that you were talking about with Hayward and Rozier and all that. That's your other trade team. So you're going to see them. I think Mitch Kupchak is probably going to try and phone some people on the phone and, you know, get some people on the phone and say, you know what, it's time to do some trading because we're going to go ahead and tank hard for Victor Wembanyama. Then you got the Orlando Magic. I think that this is a team that is going to tank, but out of necessity, because I really don't think that they're there yet. Although Paolo Banchero, it looks like he's going to be probably one of the favorites for Rookie of the Year. I think they're getting closer with the Magic, but I think that jump is not there yet. And then last but not least in the Eastern Conference is the Indiana Pacers. And Tom, there will be a fire sale for the rest of those Pacers. It just is a question of when, not if, for during the season, because you're right. I think the Pacers are going to be tanking hard. I think we need to go fish tanking because they are tanking hard. And my Western picks, we'll knock them off real quick. I think the Denver Nuggets will be the top team in the Western Conference during the regular season, Tom, because we've always talked about the home court advantage that Denver has. I think that they will get a few wins because of the thin air in Denver. They always do every year. Plus, like Joe said and I said, getting Bruce Brown, getting KCP, getting a little bit more quality and depth behind them, and now having Michael Porter Jr. looking okay coming back, and also Jamal Murray looking pretty good coming back. Remember, as when they did that Gordon trade, that Aaron Gordon trade, that, those first games that they had, like they were undefeated for a while before Jamal Murray got hurt. They were really playing well before he got hurt. I really think they could find magic in a bottle and actually play really well during the season. And Jokic, even if he doesn't have an MVP season, is still pretty damn good. So I really think that the Nuggets are going to be the top record in the West. And I repeat that, the top record in the West, simply because I think that they've got a lot to play for as far as for seeding is concerned. And again, the home court advantage doesn't hurt either. Then after that, I've got the Warriors in second, the Clippers in third, the Timberwolves, like we were talking about, I think they're really going to play up. They're really going to play hard, and I think they will go ahead and end up in the fourth spot. Then you've got the Dallas Mavericks. I've got the Phoenix Suns. The Grizzlies were a hard choice for me because I agree with out there that I think the Grizzlies are going to have a better second half of the season once they get Triple J back. I mean, asking Ja Morant over the next couple months to pretty much take the team and carry the team by himself for the next couple months is going to be a hard ask, but we'll, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. And it, by the end of it, he could be an MVP candidate. New Orleans is an extremely talented team, and to have them at number eight, especially with Zion coming back, is a hard deal to ask. But you know what? Unfortunately, I don't see where I can put them anywhere else because all these other teams are really, really, really good. The West is brutal, man. The West is absolutely brutal this year. After that, in ninth place, I have the Sacramento Kings. They have enough impetus to try and go ahead and push for a playoff spot, which they have not had since I think the time, I think even before you were born was the last time they actually made the playoffs. I'm kidding, Laker Tom. But they haven't made it, you know, in a record number of years. And I think of any time that they're going to make or break that record, it's going to be this year. But I'm picking them for ninth. So at least for a play-in spot. And then at fabulous number 10 is the Los Angeles Lakers. So I really don't have high hopes for this team at all. I really have to be convinced that LeBron and AD are going to play a full season. And if they don't, my gosh, it's going off the rails and off the rails pretty quickly, and I'll leave it at that. So Sovereign says, since the Stone Age, the Kings have not made the playoffs. It might be, Sovereign.
When did the iPhone come out?
Oh, my gosh. 2004?
Was it?
I
think it was 2008.
Oh, 2008? Okay.
See, so they haven't made the playoffs since the iPhone.
Oh, that's terrible. That's mismanagement at its finest. I think that they have enough talent to be ahead of the Lakers, and not just what I saw in preseason. I just think they have overall enough talent to sneak ahead of the Lakers, especially if the Lakers have any health concerns, which they're already starting to already. At number 11, I have the Trailblazers. Number 12, I have the Rockets, who are acquiring a lot of talent, and some of that young talent is going to start producing. I really think they're motivated to go ahead, and even though they're still going to be a lottery team, I think they're motivated to finish ahead. 13th, but don't be surprised if they actually finish at the bottom. It's the Utah Jazz. Then I have OKC, which after the Chet Holmgren injury, they're going to go ahead and reevaluate things as far as tanking. So I have them at number 14. And number 15 is Pop's San Antonio Spurs. So that's mine. Oh, by the way, yes, right. Blue Magic says you're right, Joe. The iPhone came out in 2008. Oh, my gosh. That's as long as for the Kings. But all right, here are my finals picks, and here we go. Coming out of the East, I have, let me see, who did I pick? I have the Milwaukee Bucks. I really think Giannis is going to be on a mission to really do well. I think that he might be my favorite for the MVP at this point in time, although watch out for Ja Morant. I really think if Ja Morant keeps the Grizzlies in a good spot, I think that he could be strongly considered for that. And then in the West, no, it's not going to be the Denver Nuggets. It's going to be the Los Angeles Clippers, everyone. The Clippers are my finals choice to be against the Bucks. And the winner, because if they don't do it now,
you better do it right now, Gerald.
They won't ever do it. They have a team that has more depth than anyone in the NBA. If they do not like what they see, they can make a trade. Tom always talks about tradable contracts and tradable players. They have them. So if you want a third player, a third star, they can go ahead and make that happen. Unfortunately, as much as I hate to say this, as much as I really don't want to say this, maybe I'm cursing them.
Are we going to do Clippers Fast Break now?
No, we're not doing Clippers Fast Break.
I don't know. I can't do that, Gerald. I'm sorry.
No, I can't do it either. If I'm speaking objectively and maybe I'm giving them a curse of death. Oh, you hush. Come on. I would say the LA Clippers are going to win. Maybe that's the curse of death. Maybe we'll see. But if they don't win this year, they're never going to win because they can't have a more loaded team than they have this year. That's simply a fact. They can't have a more deep roster than they have at any point in time. I really think if they don't win now, they'll never win. And then Tom and I and Joe can just laugh at them for eternity after that case. But those are our thoughts on the entire season for everybody out there. We truly want to thank everyone out there for listening to the show and what's going on. I mean, we want to hear your feedback. If you have your own list for the Eastern Western Conference, I'll read them off on the show. Please go ahead and hit me up, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com or @LakersFastBreak on Twitter. Petting My Cat says the Bucks versus the Nuggets. That's really good. I mean, my gosh, the Nuggets are really going to be a strong team this year. I think they're going to get, with their home court advantage in the thin air, I really think that they're going to get quite a few wins this year, as they always seem to do. The Milwaukee Bucks are a lot of analysts' choice and favorites, so I think that's a good choice, petting my cat right there. Paul Lippman says that Clippers are a bold pick, and he says he likes it. So, all right, I got at least one on my side on that one. I'm trying to curse them. I'm trying to curse them, so we'll see. But Joe, Laker Tom, we've shared our thoughts. The one consistent thing that we all have thought amongst you, amongst Laker Tom, amongst Jamie, amongst Nick, amongst myself, is that the Lakers really don't look good this year at the best.
Suck.
They need a trade. Eighth is the highest anyone has picked out of our group.
I purposely left the Grizzlies out of that and no one said anything. Why is that? So I want to see if you were paying attention.
Okay.
I mean, okay.
Well, I mean, with the Grizzlies, but the Grizzlies, again, the first half, Ja is going to have to play so hard and so well for this team to go ahead and win and be at the level that they were at last year.
Because
they don't have Triple J. They don't have Triple J for what, 3-4 months, I think? Right around Christmas, right around January is when he's expected back. Vigar says, last place is fine with me. The city can weep for years to come. That's for San Antonio because he's out there in San Antonio. San Antonio is trying to tank hard. I don't even know if that's an NBA quality roster there. There's a lot of suspect issues on that roster. So.
We know what happened the last time they tanked.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, there's our thoughts for the NBA season. Again, the game is tomorrow night against the Golden State Warriors. We'll be back on for the post game. But Laker Tom, I'll start with you. Any last thoughts or what article are you working on for LakerHolics.com?
I think I just published my 147th article on Miles Turner and Buddy Hield the other day.
Number one Lakers blogger.
So I'm working on number 148. I'll probably have it out the next couple of days. I do think that the Lakers need to make a trade within the next 10, before the next 10 games.
Okay. All right. There you go. I love how you're extending that timeline.
I haven't changed my tune. You know, the problem is that they're not making the right decisions. They still have a chance to correct that and make the right decisions. They're going in the wrong direction.
I agree. I think that's all something we can agree on. That's not a good sign.
And there's nothing in the history to give us confidence that they're going to make the right decision.
Yeah. And you're supposed to be the most positive one of all of us.
Well, I am. I said we're a Miles Turner and Buddy Hield trade from being a top four seed in the West.
There you go. There you have it. And you've stuck to that. And I give you a lot of credit for sticking to that. I don't share those same vibes on it.
Well, I tell you, it's incredibly frustrating because I have been rooting for them to modernize the offense and to do this for 4 years now.
Yes, you have.
And every year it's been the same story where There's interest. There's always interest. There's always interest. And they almost do it, but they don't. They don't get the shooting. They don't get the player that they need to make AD and LeBron better. And they do make, they make misjudgments on so many other players that it scares the hell out of you to think of what they might decide was a wiser move to make. It's just crazy. You know, they just have not, they have not made good decisions the last 2 years, especially. And this could be the third year in a row where the decisions have been disastrous.
Couldn't agree with you more on that part. That for that, but, we agree.
But who knows? Maybe Rob will wake up tomorrow morning, have indigestion, and say, God damn it, I'm going to make that trade. And everything will turn out wonderful. Because I tell you, the only way that we're going to, in order to come out of this smelling like a rose, the Lakers are just going to have to be lucky. Because they ain't good. They ain't smarter. They ain't wiser. They ain't better negotiators. So they're going to have to be lucky.
That's for sure, indeed. Again, check out Laker Tom's article today, the 148th article on Miles Turner. Okay, well, sorry, didn't want to get ahead of myself. 147th. Tune in next week when you got 148th.
B. Garcia. Why not trading Russell Westbrook is going to cause the Lakers to have a very slow start to the season.
V. Garcia says that's why they needed to get Jared Dudley on the staff, because that would have helped make that trade happen, Tom. always his love for Jared Dudley, indeed. But Joe Sorrell, please go ahead and check him out today at LakersBall.com as Ox1947. Joe, my friend, you've been very gracious on today, bringing some valuable insight along with Laker Tom for today's show. I know a lot of people in the chat room have appreciated our words. Paul said, keep up the great work. Again, I truly appreciate when a fan of another team takes the time to catch us and really says some nice things about our show. It is truly welcome and appreciated, not only from the Lakers fans, but non-Laker fans as well. But Blue Magic says tomorrow might be a group therapy session. It's always here for you. We're always here for you right there. You can sit on the virtual couch and we'll go ahead and share the therapy away. Maybe starting tomorrow night. You might be right on that one, Blue Magic. But Joe, any last thoughts on the season up ahead before we head on out, my friend?
Get your beer ready.
Don't you need something stronger?
I don't really drink a lot, so no. I have other avenues that can relieve my stress.
Well, you know what? V. Garcia said it's himself. Let's have some fun this season. He missed the interaction with us.
Why was Tom the only one that got that reference?
I must be the only one who does the same thing.
Oh, there you go. Virtual fist bump right there for you. Take it easy, Sovereign. We thank you so much for being part of it. And for V, for Blue, for Paul, for petting my cat, Sovereign, like I said, also as well, everybody that was part of it. Young MB was terrific as well. He had a lot of stuff going on as far as great comments and part of the chat. Truly appreciate him taking the time and everyone out there taking the time in the chat room. Jim was excellent early on. He had some very, very cool words for us. Truly appreciate his insight. Richard, as always, got him here a couple weeks ago to jump on the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate him staying with us. The Range had some great thoughts as well. Appreciate him coming back and checking us out. Believe we had some new viewers on tonight, so we truly appreciate you joining us. My gosh, the list seems endless as far as the people commenting on the chat room, and we cannot thank you enough for taking the time to doing so. Truly appreciate everyone out there. Derek, what's up, Lakers Nation? He's been on here before. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts as well. Man, amazing, amazing chat so far tonight. It was really, truly appreciated. Terrell, as always, you were awesome. Got to give you props. Thank you so much for doing so. I know I'm leaving a couple of people out, and I'm sorry. It's not intentional. I apologize. I truly appreciate that you go ahead and were part of the chat tonight. Thank you so much for doing so. But there's so many comments in the chat. It's really hard. Jeremy, thank you. I know you're a new viewer. Thank you so much for watching us. Truly appreciate it. Thank you for everyone checking us out. If you're listening to us on a podcast format, remember, you'll always see the episode drop, you know, as early as possible right there for you, hopefully in the morning as you're on your drive or you're heading to work or at work. We truly appreciate checking us out. You've been tremendous on Anchor, and we truly thank you so much for checking us out wherever you get your podcasts. But I will say that for now, you have our season picks. You're going to hold us to them. I know. We're just the best of our ability. We tried to go ahead and do the best we can. Want to thank you so much again for having the patience to go ahead and checking us out. Laker Tom, he's my guy. You're going to V Garcia. Great to have you back. Appreciate you jumping over from our longtime Facebook viewer there. So going to thank you for jumping over to YouTube for us. But we'll say it's going to be an interesting season. Good or bad, you know, with the Lakers, it's always going to be fun. It's always going to be somewhat memorable. It's always going to be newsworthy. And it's always going to be much to talk about. So, yes, there's no better place to go to talk about the Lakers than right here at the Lakers Fast Breaks. So if you have any questions or comments for us, always on the YouTube channel, you're always welcome to do that. Joe and I catch up to as best we can whenever we can. Also as well, Lakers Fast Break on Twitter. Go ahead and follow me there. I go ahead and report on the Lakers, and also you get the latest links for our episodes as well. And of course, Lakers Fast Break on Facebook, which we are still there. We're still very active. So thank you so much. We even have special episodes for Facebook every once in a while. And of course, want to go ahead and mention as well that you can always send me comments or thoughts on the season, on the league as a whole too, as well, at LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. So for Joe Soro, a.k.a. Ox1947, Mr. Sinblades at sinblades.com, go ahead and get your lawn transformed into something spectacular today if you're in the Southern California area at sinblades.com. Plus Laker Tom, the number one Lakers blogger that's out there, go ahead and check out his tremendous work along with Jamie Sweets, Yami Swoot, right there for you on the five things. Go ahead and check out what they're doing today at Lakerholics.com. Shout out to LakersBall.com. We also had some comments as well on doing watch parties. We're still trying to organize that. Still trying to get everything together on that. Hopefully Playback TV will go ahead and let me know someday when they get around to it, to letting us know that we can go ahead and get approved. Tried to hit him up twice. I think I'll hit him up on the Twitter. I think that's my next move. So I will hopefully get something started, and hopefully we can announce something in the not-too-distant future on Laker watch parties that we hopefully can be a part of. So hopefully a pootie out. I'll say it. All right, V. Garcia, pootie out. But for Laker Tom, Joe Soro, this is Gerald Glassford. I want to thank you for watching and listening. So much to talk about up ahead for us this season. And you can find us right here to talk about it at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.